Dear people, please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And follow along as I read the first 11 verses. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning the reading of verse 1, ending in verse 11. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is in all and in, Christ is all, excuse me, and in all. Let us once again seek God in prayer. Our blessed God in heaven, we ask you this morning as we come. We come to look at your word, O Lord God, and we pray that you would help us to understand it. We need the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and to do the work which needs to be done in us to be able to receive your truth. I need the Holy Spirit, O God, to guide me, that your people would hear what the truth is in your scriptures. So, Lord, look to us now and help us as we now take our sights and our minds and our hearts to your word. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come now to the book of Colossians, we're in this third chapter. In the first four verses of this chapter, Paul reminds the brethren of their union with Christ Jesus and the true spiritual power that exists through the holy life that they now have in Jesus Christ. He also made it clear that their union with Christ is the controlling principle of their new life. Now, Paul shows in a practical way how that principle must be worked out or applied in our daily living. The next section of this letter, which is from the fifth verse of this third chapter and all the way down to the sixth verse of the fourth chapter, Paul deals with practical exhortations for living the Christian life and living a life of holiness. Clearly, he teaches that the Christian life must undergo real work of destroying the old life of sin. The message of this part of the letter is really, if we can state it this way, let the new life that is in you because of your union with Jesus Christ have total control. Now, as we pick up this morning in verse 5, Paul in this section applies biblical truth with moral instruction and authoritative commands. He does this by presenting four leading appeals, which are, and that goes from verse 5 here all the way down to chapter 4 and verse 6. The first one is abandoning the vices of the old life. We see that in verses 5 to 11. And in the second one, cultivating the virtues of a new life, or the new life, verses 12 to 17. And thirdly, strengthening family relationships we find in verse 18 down to and including chapter 4 and verse 1. And then he ends off this whole part of authoritative commands in verses 2 and 6, performing religious duties. This morning we will pick up in the first one, abandoning the devices of the old life. And we find that in verse 5 is where it begins. And really, Paul, what he says here in verse 5 is all that he says in this particular part. Now I submit to you as you read verses 6 and 7, which I will not do this morning, you'll find that what Paul is saying there, it is giving some of the reasons why what he says in verse 5 should be dealt with. But what we're going to do with this morning, deal with just verse 5. Paul says here, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Paul starts this very chapter, verse off with therefore. And we know the use of what Paul does when he uses this word. He really looks back or makes a connection to what has gone before. Look at verse 3, we find, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so we can say, therefore. And he says, now what you need to do is know that since that has happened, hear what you and I can do now. He is stating that since we must have our minds set up on the things above, we must also be eager to get rid of any of the behavior that is not in line with the mindset or that mindset. Remember what he said in verse 3. He says, for you have died. Verse 2, he said, set your mind on things above. Paul is now pulling in as he goes into verse 5. He's telling us how and what we must live, living our life of setting our minds on the things above. But Paul is going to indicate here now, those things that we have to put upon our mind and set it on are very close to us, right even in our own being as we live. He says in verse 5 again, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. He is stating that since we have a new minds, and those minds are now set on the things above, we must also be eager to get rid of any behavior that is not in line with that mindset. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Paul is saying here, the new life that you have in Jesus Christ is a life now that is no longer lived in the power of sin. It's lived with by the power of God and the Holy Spirit that works in us. He's saying something new has to take place now. And what he says there in the beginning of the verse, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Reading the New American Standard we have here, it says body as dead. The King James Version says, mortify therefore your members. Kill them. Put them to death. And even the NIV and ESV says, put to death your members. This takes us back to what is stated in Colossians 2 and 12. And what Paul here tells us what has taken place in our very lives itself. Look at the 12th verse of chapter 2. Having been buried with him, that is Christ, in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your face, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. We have now become new people in Christ Jesus, he's saying. You are alive in Christ Jesus. You died to the old life. You died to sin. And now the new life takes over. Paul is reminding the brethren that union with Christ has made them dead to sin in their daily living. Not just the whole idea of fanciful thought in the mind, but in the daily life itself. Therefore, the Christian is able to, because of the union with Christ and the power that is operating now in him, defeat sin in his body. They are told to make the death to the old life real in their daily living. He is not saying in some way control the evil acts and attitudes. No, he is saying wipe them out. Completely slay them. Destroy them. There is a sense of urgency in Paul's voice here. It is the action to be taken. Go to war. Go take up arms against the members of your earthly body. The question is, and should be, how do we do this? What are the members of the earthly body? He is not speaking in the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 5:28, if your right eye makes you slumber, tear it out. If your right arm makes you to stumble, cut it off. He's not saying that you must now do those things which would tear out limbs or rip out eyes, but you must now handle what is called these members of your earthly body. Now you and I know and understand that it is the members that sin, these parts of our bodies where the sin is actually perpetrated. Paul is not telling him to maim the physical body, but to slay the evil passions and desires that are in them and attack them through the body. Our sin is just not something that just flows off and is not attached to some way or some part of us. They have been called your physical nature, your earthly inclinations. They work in your parts. They belong to the earth. They are in this earth realm only, not in the spiritual realm. That's why Paul says, consider the members of your earthly body. Paul is telling us something here that is very important, that we have to understand the whole sin in us. They're in the earthly realm. In the spiritual realm, we do not have, do not have control. They're not in the spiritual realm. You and I have to understand we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We truly have new lives. We are new. We are now spiritual beings. And so Paul says there's two different things here. You as a spiritual being, you do and desire to live to the glory of God, but the earthly part of you still wants to serve sin. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. He says what you and I have to do, we have to look at it and say, now, no. The members of this body are not going to control me. Now, what Paul is saying here also is that what we think about it is that dead, it must be, really has no power, no ability to perform those sins of your past life. The faculties of life that were used in the service of sin in the past life are now given to Christ. They belong to him. Paul says in Romans 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Paul is using something that I believe we can understand. As you work through this idea, Paul is saying the members of your body, a lot of the commentators wonder, what is Paul really talking about when he say the members of your body? Is he really talking about the members itself? In other words, these parts of us that commit the sin. And Paul says in one place, he says, you know, if you go up to the temple prostitute, you take the members of your body with you. And if you do that, you bring Christ into that sin with you. because he is a member of you. And it seems in that place, Paul is actually talking about the actual members, the hands. Like Paul said, if you stole, steal no more. And as I mentioned too, when Jesus says, cut off that hand, pull out that right eye. Now he's not telling gouge it out, but with the force behind it to cause it to sin, get rid of that force. Get rid of that very thing. And that is the sin that is in us and doing all it can to cause us to go to that place where we would be those who would be wicked in sin. Paul is saying that this is the very thing we need to do. Again, 6:3 of Romans. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. That's the important part right there. As instruments of unrighteousness. Now, the unrighteousness is the very thing that comes in us, the functioning that happens in us where we have all the sin with us. But the sin is going to be perpetrated by something, some part of the body. We're going to walk in the places where we shouldn't be. We're going to speak things that we should not speak. We're going to look at things that we should not look. We're going to pick up things that we should not pick up. And we're going to do things with this body. Sexual things that we should not do. And this is what Paul is saying. But where does the power of that come from? Is the hand the problem? No, it's the abiding sin that is the problem that causes the hand. It's the abiding sin that is the problem that causes the mouth to speak sinful things. And we can see and understand it. So Paul says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Now he's saying everything in us, we must understand that sin itself provides as in us, it lives in us, and it causes those things of passions and all kinds of desires to come out. So Paul now names something. He gives a list for us here. He says, consider your earthly body as dead. Two, and notice what he says, immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Paul gives a list here. And this very list, the sins that function through the members of the body, and as we could say, the hands, the eyes, the mouth, the feet, the body, all parts. It is agreed that most commentators set a look at this place and said, these four sessions or sections here are associated with sexual sins. Paul is saying here, immorality, impurity, passions and evil desires and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Some say the four of them. Immorality, impurity, passions, and evil desires to sexual sins. But others say the same thing, even a greed, which amounts to idolatry, falls in the same line too. Brethren, even looking at this and thinking about it, I had a bit of prudeness that came over me. Do I want to speak about the sexual stuff that's going on here? But as I said, it's God's word. We come to it. We need it, don't we? So I say, well, Lord, give me the grace to plant as it power forward and do what needs to be done. It is agreed that most of the commentators look at this. All this is in the area of sexual sins. Immorality. The word itself means fornications. Sexual sin, unlawful sexual intercourse, including illicit relationships of every description. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul writes, and he's saying what the Lord of God has done. And he's saying the wrath of God has come upon all things and all kinds of sins. And he talks about what has taken place in mankind. The world is just so filled with wickedness and sins. They are corrupt in their very being. They have these gods that they have made for themselves. And they worship these gods and they don't honor the living God who created them. But he goes further than that. He said their whole lives and how they live them. Notice in verse 24. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. Now God didn't make them lustful. He gave them over to their lustful hearts so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. We know what that is. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the women and burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own presence the due penalty of their error. Paul is saying this is what is taken first. He says in verse 20, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossipers, and he goes on. And so here, Paul has said, this is what God is saying here, what he's doing. He says, immorality, fornication, sexual sin is what he's speaking about. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God for your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Paul uses this in the scriptures. It's clear throughout, even from the beginning in the Old Testament on down to the end. Sexual sins is the horrible thing that has come upon man. Even impurity is the next way Paul uses it, which actually means uncleanness, indecency, dirty-minded, evil thoughts. Matthew 15:19, Jesus says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses and slanders. All these things. And Paul said, this is what they are. Immorality, impurity. The mind and the heart is made impure by sin. And he goes on and he says, passions. Now, we know that passion can be used in different ways, and also mentioned the fact that you may have passion for certain things that's not in the sexual category. But Paul here puts it in that category. Passion is really a lust. Lust of desires. Deep driving for desires. Uncontrolled desires. And as I read, Paul mentioned it in Romans 1:26-27 about those passions that they had. Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians 4:5, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. And he calls it in Romans 21:26, degrading passions, inordinate affections, going after things that you shouldn't have, going after things which you still get. It's still in the area of sex, dear people. Paul is saying this is the way to live. And he goes on, he says, in evil desires. The word evil here describes the desire. Desires can be good desires, right? It describes it. Wicked, bad in heart, conduct and character. But Paul uses the word here for desire, which means strong longing, lust, the inordinate craving for sexual satisfaction. The two words indicated, evil desire, indicate that what is condemned is desire for the wrong things. Evil desire is the inordinate craving for sexual satisfaction. The word is also used to craving for other things, but by the context that Paul gives us here, we know he indicating the craving for sexual satisfaction. All these are connected to sexual sins. And Paul says, this is what it is. He now speaks to the brethren of Colossae. He says, this is what you must do. Therefore, since that old body has been killed, that earthly body is destroyed, and no power is given to it, you have to be the one who giveth the power. Now, make it dead. Consider it dead. Don't let it take control over you. Paul says, in greed, he ends off with, and some of the commentators look at this as separate, but again, Paul is saying it is identified with the same. He said, the greed, which is nothing but amounts to idolatry. And some people look at how does sex become idolatry and all that. So, but really, when you look at it, you understand it, that this very greed, this idea for something, this lusting after things, put things in the place of God is really what it does. These things become first in the life of sin. Idolatry is connected with sexual sins in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I won't read it for you, but if you get time, go to Exodus chapter 22 and verse 6 and see how God indicates what the ancient people did. Numbers 25, verses 1 to 3. Let's turn to here and look at what even how it's stated, what took place, and what God himself said concerning the life of what should be done by the people of God. He says in Numbers chapter 25, and notice, he says, verse 1, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people before began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people of the sacrifice to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal the Peor, and the Lord was angry with Israel. Israel went after the things that they shouldn't go after. And here's the very thing what happened to them. That was playing the harlot. They actually began now to put another one in the place of God. That was idolatry. And in this place, even the writer shows us it was actually idolatry because they even turned to another God. But this God was connected with even all the sexual attitudes of the people who worshiped this God. And we know that was a thing in the past, and that's the way it was. The gods that they came to, the gods that they wanted, they even had sexual intercourse with those around and among the gods. And the thing about it, dear people, this attitude was alive in the very economy during the time of the Christian church. The Roman Empire was a horrible, decadent empire. And one said that the Roman man, he had a wife that was for bearing children, and then he had other women for having sex. And even sometimes men and little boys. That was the very nature of life then. And it's this empire that these Colossian brethren are born out of. And all around them, how were people living? They were living in horrible lives. There was nothing wrong with being, as we would call it, sexual promiscuous. That was the thing of the day. You're not even right if you're not a man having all the joy you can have. Women were put to the level that they were worth nothing. That's a piece of stock. But Paul reminds us as we looked in verse in Romans chapter 1 that it not only came into the idea of the women, it was men, it was also the women. Leaving the natural use of the man and going after women. I thought to myself, and I said, Lord, earlier on, get in chapter 1 of this book, I said, Lord, you guided me to this book because it's so useful this time for us right now. And I was only in chapter 1. And I said, go on and get to chapter 2. Lord, there's so much here that is useful for us right now. And then, the past week, looking over verse 5, I said, my God, it has come to us for such a time as this. Look at our world today, dear people. every level of life in this country is being flooded with the idea you can be whatever you want as far as your sexual identity is. Do whatever you want. Some of the most wicked things we have now is going on today. But I believe it is no worse than it was in the time of the Old Testament. All the people around who did not know God. In the time of the New Testament and the Roman Empire and all the other nations around them didn't know God. And we actually now at this point have fallen to the same level. There was always sexual sins around and in the nation and in people when people were doing certain things. But he was saying, now it has gotten so bad. So here we find that the very thing we see is God is saying, this is what is taking place. Paul also, in other verses, and I won't turn to him, he also mentions that these sexual sins are the very thing they go to. But some I do want you to see. And I'll read to you verses. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. For this you know with certain that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The scripture says no, those things have to be gone. I do want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and how the apostle indicates talking to those in Corinth. Remember, they're under that same Roman Empire. And that empire is one that it lives and it lives for pleasure and joy and all the things that we would have and do to make ourselves feel even more glorious and good in this life. Romans chapter 6, notice in verse 9. Let's drop up to verse 7. And the word of truth and the power of God by the weapons of the righteous for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. As unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing or possessing all things. So Paul is saying, here is what we see and understand. I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Corinthians, huh? No wonder I'm saying that doesn't sound right. Okay, look at verse 9, chapter 6. For do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Here Paul's saying to this, and he's speaking to the church. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what Paul says in verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And so he's saying, this is what has taken place for you. You've changed, and that change has taken place because of what God has done. Now, God has done the very thing that is necessary to cause the body to die, and we must see and understand that. And Paul is saying, that's the very thing we all need to know. You have died. You've died in Christ. You've raised to newness of life in Christ. Now, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Treat them as dead. This does not mean try to convince yourself that they are dead. But understand that they are truly dead. They have no control over you. Now live in that truth, is what he's saying. They are told to live their lives knowing that the old man is dead, and therefore the sin life of the past with its passions and desires no longer have any control over them. That's beautiful, isn't it? When we lie, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. You know why? Because we did not allow the control that we have in our body to push that lie away from us. We let it come through our lips. When we did anything else, and Jesus says, those who stole, steal no more. Get a job and work with your hands so you will have that to give to others instead of taking from them. And the truth is that recognizing what has taken place, he says, consider your earthly body. Consider this body, which is now still in the earth. We living as earthly beings. We take on and we have everything that to go in the body for sustenance, for life, and go on in the body. But he says, consider it as dead. Now, what Paul is saying here is consider the passions and desires that use the members of your body as dead. Meaning that they have no control. They have been defeated now. Now you have been raised up with Christ. You live with him. Those passions, oh yeah, sin remains, as Paul says, but it doesn't reign. But they are going to get us to try to go into the passions of those areas. But Paul says, you have to look at your body and know to it and understand that it's dead. He says, Romans 8:12-13, so then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And he says that's going to be done by the Spirit. Paul says, here is the thing that you must understand. This verse comes back, and everything that Paul has to say is up to in the first verse in chapter 4. Everything has to done with that newness that has taken place. For you have died, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. Your life is in Christ. And he says, and when Christ come, who is our life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him. Dear people, the old principles, the old desires, the strength of them have been ripped away. They have no control any longer. The only way they control is we give them control. So Paul saying, this is the very thing you must see, must understand. And here, and then just in this verse alone, and that's why I wanted to stick here, that we must see and understand what God is saying. By way of application, you and I must say to ourselves, oh, the horror of sexual sins. The horror. And I think as we look around in our nation right now today, and not only ours, all across the world, the horror of sexual sins. Why you believe you're a boy today instead of a girl? Because you want to have relationships with the other one. Same sex. Some of it, that's the only reason for it. The horror of sins. It is from fallen man. In the garden, when man fell, it came the abuse of the man-woman relationship. The marriage covenant was destroyed by sin. Man's treatment of women became wicked. They began to multiply wives. We see that in the scriptures. Sexual deviations entered into the human race and full-blown in Sodom and Gomorrah. God gave Israel laws in immoral relationships. He honored immoral relationship in Leviticus 18:6-22. He told them, don't be going and having sex with your father's wife. Don't be going and having sex with your son's daughter or so-and-so. He had to tell everything. All the relations, he said, don't have anything to do with your neighbor's wife. Men with men, women with women. Don't do it. This is as old as the Old Testament. God gave these laws because the nation that they would be near committed such wickedness. And brethren, we have become one of those nations. And we live in the midst of it. Leviticus 18 and 24. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. God is against all the nations, and people do not want to see today. It is because of this whole area of sexual sins. During the time of the church, the Roman Empire was steeped in sexual sins. The members of the Colossian church were called to faith from sexual degraded society in which they themselves were a part of. This message to the brethren was very important to the spiritual strength of the body. Today, it is the same in our society. Sexual sins have reached its epidemic level. And we say to ourselves, can it get any worse than it is now? But when we said that a few weeks ago, we found that the following day, something was worse. And we don't know what tomorrow brings. But God has given them up to destroy themselves in that way. How far will they go? The church must truly in these days fight these sins. And I don't mean that we need to go out and take up a banner and go out there and call all homosexuals all like that. Fight them within the church. Fight them within our own hearts because they are there. They grab at those. They try to draw people to themselves. And we must be those who fight. We have all this open space, as it were, that we can see everything, we can hear everything on radio, on TV, and it's all out there, and what is being pushed out there? The way of wickedness. The first application, the horror of the second sin. The second application, consider your past life of sin, dear people. Consider it. And if those of us who can say sexual sin, consider that past life. We must ask ourselves, have I changed since I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior? Is my life really different? Am I truly understanding what Paul says here in this very chapter we've seen so far? Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus. Do I see and understand that? Do I now look at the very impulses and the very desires of my body as dead? Have past sins and desires truly been put to death? You and I have to ask ourselves that. People at Colossae, when Paul had this letter written to them, they had to stop and think. Okay, Paul is telling me, this is who I am now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. What about all those sins that I were a part of? Do they rear their ugly heads once and once again and try to get me to go in that direction? How have I been able to ward them off? Were I able to fight them down and they did not have brought me into the sin anymore? Or was I there? Begin to lust. Remember, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. That's where we attack the sins. Right there in the beginning. Consider your past life of sin. Each and every one of us say, Lord, I am not the same. Have to be able to say that. But then we ought also to consider your present life of grace. And I believe this is what the Lord has come brought to us. And this is what Paul wants all of us to see and understand. And we ask ourselves the question, can you look at your own heart and say, I once lived in those sins. I once walked in this that way. But I can say, I have put to death those body passions, affections that once controlled me. They no longer have control over me. This is what the very passage is saying to us. It means for you and I to think about everything we are, what we do, and where we are right now. Because Paul said, this is a very important part. You who are a Christian, here's the thing. Brethren, there are many people who call themselves Christians. But Paul says this, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus in God. There are many people saying they're Christians, but they can't say that. Their life is hidden with Christ Jesus in God. They're living their lives the same way they lived it before. A friend of ours called up and was speaking, and they said he left the church because the pastor wasn't doing what he was preaching. I didn't go into any detail what that is, but we know how that's been. In the past, I remember one man saying, well, you know what? We have a church meeting. There is some rumor going around here that I'm having an affair with so-and-so. Well, I want to stop the rumor. I am. They call themselves Christians. But here, what we have, and what God is saying here through the Apostle Paul, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You are hidden in him. Dear people, we have to see ourselves that not who we once were. We have to really see and understand that we have a new life. It's not the old me or the old you trying our best to struggle through, messing up every other day. No. It should be some progress. Paul is telling us the Spirit is working in us. And as we put this life to death, the Spirit gives us power and we can say, yes, it has truly died. Can you say, can I say, I have put to death those body passions, affections that once controlled me? And brother, we have to say, I can say yes. And Paul, as he goes on, he indicates this is the very thing. But Paul doesn't only work in this area, but he brings this first. And I can only believe that Paul said this is the most debilitating part of the human life. Sexual sins. Then he goes into other sins. How we'll deal with each other. So on. But may God bless us, dear people. May God send you. Again, almost a sermon I didn't want to preach. But God has it. It needs to be preached. May God bless each and every one of us. Look at your lives, dear people, is what he's saying. Be real to yourself. If you have not been slaughtering those things, get to work on them right away. Destroy them. Defeat them. And if you find that you can't defeat them, it may be a problem. You don't have new life in Christ. And then that means you got to fall to your knees and beg God for salvation. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we thank you for what we know and learn from your scriptures. We can see the dirty picture of sin throughout the history of mankind. We can see what it is even in the world today. And we can plead to you, O Father, for your blessing and mercy to us. But we truly do thank you that, Lord God, you have changed us. And now we desire to do what the apostle tells us right here, that we will put to death the members of our body, meaning all those passions and all those desires that take hold of us through our members, that we will put them to death. Give us what we need, O Lord God, to strike at the core and to destroy them, that they will have no rule over us. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name.